Hey, we haven't talked to legendary coach, teacher, administrator over at Jackson High, Jack Fairley, in a while. So it's good to catch up with Jack. He'll be running the Bob Wright Memorial High School Baseball Classic this Saturday. Jack, looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're real excited about the opportunity to honor Bob. And we are just excited, the four teams we have in it. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, I guess when you look up class act in the dictionary, Bob Wright's picture's there.
Yeah, Bob was a mentor to me when I started out. I was 23, 24 years old, and came back to Jackson after a couple of years in South Carolina, and he got me involved in the baseball program then, and I was his assistant for 5 or 6 years, and he took me to the All-Star game when he was in 1988. He was coaching in that at Tiger Stadium, and you know, let a young coach come along with him, and I was in the Tiger dugout, and we had that great experience together. And just, you know, I can go on and on, but just what I learned as a coach and as a person, he was just such a great man, and he did so much for baseball in our county with the travel team, the Windy travel team, and he didn't care where you went to school. He was going to make sure he taught you baseball. And if you look at all the four teams, Lumen Christi, Jackson, Western, and Northwest, he affected every one of those baseball programs in some way. He coached at Lumen. He coached at Jackson. He worked with the Oliver boys very closely in the Windies program out of Western. And Chris Galloway, you know, the AD at Northwest, played for him here at Jackson. You know, a lot of Northwest kids played on the Windies team, so we thought having those four teams in the tournament would be great. And A.J. Fitzpatrick had been reaching out to me and about how he could help with the program, and Seymour Ford is our major sponsor for the tournament, and we can't thank them enough for their donation that went to the scholarship money that we're going to be giving each school, a $500 baseball scholarship to give to a senior on this year's team. So we'll be presenting that before the championship game at 7:30. We'll make a presentation to the Wright family, and Bob's grandson is going to throw out the first pitch. So that's pretty exciting also. And just going to be a fun day, and, you know, we're it's $5 to get into the game. And a reasonable price for a fun day.
And full radio coverage. That will be the longest radio broadcast maybe in the history.
Well, I'm excited about that. You know, that's just an added bonus to the whole thing. And we had shirts made for each team, trying to make it special. So each school has a Bob Wright Memorial Baseball T-shirt with a kid's number on it. And I just had some alumni call me, and they made another donation. And we had donations from Bob's memorial from his when he passed. So our funding's pretty good shape. And then just, you know, the community, it's just a good day for baseball. With the crappy COVID stuff we've been going through.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure we had something to honor Bob. And I know he would be the guy that would be there all day from 12 till 7 watching every single pitch, you know. So, I mean, he was always around. When he was in his 80s, he was still going to baseball games. And every spring I get a call. You got the schedule yet? I need to start getting him on my schedule, you know. And it just wasn't coming to Jackson High games. I mean, he was all over this county looking, and he could tell you who was the best, you know, pitcher, regardless of what school they were at. And he'd find somebody at a little school, and, you know, his connection to Grass Lake, very close to get people out there, and had some really good ball players, and just, you know, Homer, find a kid at Homer that would help the team, and But everybody respected him, and he knew the game. And I just had to remember to stand on the right side. He had one ear he had heard in, one he didn't hear in. So I'd make sure I was on the correct side, and ran a dugout for him. And we had great times together. And he always just, and every time, you know, he'd smile and give you a hard handshake, and you know, and he gave a ton to Jackson High. I mean, the years, what we lost, the history of athletics that I've learned from Bob. I mean, he grew up in Jackson on Prospect Street and would tell me how he'd take the trolley downtown and then walk to Withington Stadium to watch Fortune Sulo when the guys play football, you know, at Withington Stadium.
Sure.
And, I mean, that connection, you know, that's history, right? And then it's like Denny Kiley when you talk to him about the sports. But Bob, as a little kid, could go all the way back to the 30s, you know? So that was something. And I tried to get stories from him all the time and in the oral history, you know? So.
And Bob was a great basketball coach as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, people forget about that. I was talking to Corey Slater was telling me how he went to a basketball camp, and he had Bob Wright was his coach, you know. So Bob had his, you know, put his finger in everything. He was just a big supporter of every athletic event we had. And if we had a football game going on, Bob was there in the off season. You know, if it was a swim meet, you'd see him there helping time the swim meet, those kind of things. So he definitely supported Viking athletics.
Yeah, I remember the days, of course, Bob Wright and Jus Perdicone and Ben Sierra, that triumvirate there of coaches were, I mean, you couldn't beat that here in town.
No, we we're just blessed in this town, the coaches that have come through, and like you said, those three, and then I'm, you know, I'm thinking of the, you know, the Herb Rogans and the Dave Driscolls, and I mean, I guess maybe I just looked up to them too, but I learned a lot from all those guys, and you know, we're just very fortunate, this town, that we have quality athletics.
Sure. What Bob had such a presence, Jack. What was that about him?
Well, you know what? He was calm. He didn't lose his temper. He was even keeled. But if he was going to go chew on an umpire, he didn't embarrass the umpire.
Right.
But he got his point across, you know, because he was knowledgeable of the game. And I think that's what everybody just, you had to respect. If he said something, an umpire would double check himself. You know what I mean? It was never Bob. I've never, ever saw him lose control. Not at a kid. He would very calmly get his point across. And, you know, it was almost the players were sorry they disappointed him. You know, it wasn't him having to scream and yell. And it was, you know, just very calmly. This is what we're supposed to. He was a teacher, you know. He taught the game. And, you know, if more coaches had that attitude where you don't need to scream and yell, I always think when you get to that point, you've just lost. You don't know how to get your point across, you know.
Yeah, you know, when he would kind of bark out of the side of his mouth, and he'd just kind of be mumbling to himself. You knew he was teed off, but he wasn't going to, like you said, he would not show anybody up.
No, he would come out. You're right. He'd be looking down. I can just see him, hands in his pocket.
Yep.
Walking out, you know, down at the ground, mumbling, but not pointing a finger at the umpire or whatever. And he'd get next to the umpire, and you knew he was telling him whatever he had to tell him, but it wasn't like, I'm going to embarrass you. It was like, you know, you blew that call. He just did it with class.
And yeah,
that was the whole thing. He did everything with class. It was, you know, and he was a math teacher, and everything was precise and organized. And, you know, he ran a really good program. We were just so fortunate. I was, like I always say, he was always somebody I looked forward to seeing in the springtime. And when I moved back from South Carolina, I was still in South Carolina, and I came home for Christmas, and I was at a basketball game, and he grabbed me and took me into the office and wanted me to, he wanted to hear all about coaching baseball in South Carolina, what it was like, and you know, and with the weather and the teams and the kids, and he just was, you know, made me feel like the most important person in the world. And I think that was the other thing he did. He would make a person feel important. The least kid on the team had a role, but Bob, you know, made him feel important that they had a role and they could contribute to what we were doing. And I think that's that, another lesson that, you know, young coaches can learn from. And that's the, having a mentor like that, I was blessed. So
yeah, they didn't come any better than Bob Wright, no doubt. Jack, no. Can you give us an update on, there's a couple building projects over there in the athletic department, how that's coming along?
The pool is really close to being completed. Mm-hmm. I think we're supposed to take over the keys to the building on the 31st of the of June at the end. Might be a few days after that, but it's really coming. It's going to be gorgeous. I mean, there's going to be a 30-foot wall when you walk in with a big Viking head on it, and then the pool is just ginormous compared to the pool that we have right now. And it is definitely an aquatic center now and not just a, you know, a six-lane pool.
Right.
It's going to have a movable bulkhead. There's a rock climbing wall at one end. It'll seat 400, just short of 500 people. Elevator to get up to the top of the stands. There's a family locker room, and there's competitive locker rooms. So for our community that uses it, they'll have a, you know, individual private places to get dressed. And, so that's coming along. And then there's also some new office space. So that's moving. And then we'll be breaking ground in a few days. You'll see bulldozers on the tennis courts, removing all that. And, through a generous donation, we've been able to build, we're going to have an athletic center, a Jackson Athletic, center, which will be, where the old softball field and tennis courts are. And as well, we're putting in a new scoreboard at the end of the stadium and a concession stand. And that'll help our visiting fans that come to Withington Stadium, help their experience. And the sound system that comes with us will make it just awesome. It's one big, huge speaker system that's above the scoreboard instead of speakers all over the stadium. And that'll be a nice upgrade there. And then some handicap seating on the south end of the big bleacher side instead of just on the north end. And that's going to help our handicap people. And then the road that goes down into the stadium will switch, and they'll come off of Stewart Street. And they had to, you know, when you start a project, you have a vision of where it's going to be put on the property. And then when you get in the middle of the building process, you realize there has to be a retention pond for water. And so our baseball field is going to be shut down for after this season. When we get done with the high school season, we'll be shut down until the spring of 23. So we're going to be doing some practicing over at Parkside. We're developing the field over there, so we have a practice field at Parkside next year, and then we'll play our home games at Best Field for baseball next year.
Oh, wow.
But in the long run, we have an indoor baseball practice facility.
Right.
And so for the little bit of, you know, everybody's got a little bit of pain in this, but it's going to be a huge payoff in the end.
Where are the tennis courts going?
Well, we're playing that there will be no tennis courts at Jackson High.
Okay.
We'll play tennis over at Parkside at the Kiley tennis courts over there, Dennis Kiley. So that's where we play varsity tennis now.
Mm-hmm.
And actually half our sports are over at Parkside and half are here. We have softball, tennis, soccer going on over there. And then girls golf is at Ella Sharp. You know, so we do cross country that way. So we have an athletic trainer based over there and an athletic trainer here at the high school. And so we're spread out, but it's you know, we make it work. So
Yeah, for the baseball Saturday, what about fans? Do they have to wear a mask, or how's that all working?
So we open the doors at 11 o'clock. We'll start selling tickets. It's $5 a head to get in and wear a mask. And we ask that you, when you're on our campus, that you have a mask on and you socially distance yourself. If somebody's way out in right field, and they're all by themselves and with their family, if the mask came down and they're comfortable with that, I'm not going to go out and chase them down. But if they're in our bleacher area, they'll have a mask on. So, on campus, the rule is a mask or they won't be able to come in. So,
gotcha.
They'll get to see my smile. Well, they won't see my smiling face because I'll be masked up. So, but they'll see me at the gate. So
I'm sure you'll be smiling under that mask.
I sure will. When I see the first pitch go, and you know, I get when the scoreboard turns on and everybody, all the workers are there, I can take a deep breath and enjoy watching baseball for a day. So it should be a fun day and excited again to have people like yourself, Seymour Ford. Just helping out to make this a great event. And then BSN, our supplier we work with, they helped with the jersey costs. So a lot of people pitch in to make this a nice event and a way to honor Bob.
Good deal. Hey, thanks for stopping by, Jack. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. Jack Fairley, legendary shop teacher, formerly. He's retired from that at Jackson High, the athletic director. So it's Western Northwest at noon, gates open 11, followed by Jackson Lumen at 2:30. They'll play a consolation game at 5, and then the championship game at 7:30, full day of baseball festivities.